Welcome to Marketing School, the only podcast that provides daily top-level marketing tips and strategies from entrepreneurs that practice what they preach and live what they teach. Let's start leveling up your marketing knowledge with your instructors, Neil Patel and Eric Sue.
Today, we're going to talk about when it's actually acceptable to have churn. But first, let's kind of redefine what churn means. Churn just simply means when you're losing clients. So let's say you have 100 clients and you lose 10 in a month, your monthly churn rate is 10%, which is really high because you basically have to cycle through all your clients in a new year, right? But there are situations where it's okay to churn, whether you have a products or a services business. So Neil and I wanted to talk about that because especially what kind of the macro environment right now, we are going to see increased churn. We're already seeing increased churn. So there are situations where it does make sense. So
I think the biggest thing where it's acceptable to see high churn is when you're starting off. Honestly, when you're first getting started, you are naturally going to have high churn. It's impossible not to have high churn. Your numbers are skewed. The older your company gets, typically, the more improved your churn numbers will also be. When you're starting off, just be okay with high churn. If you're not okay with high churn, you're in for a whole whirlwind because you're not going to get the results that you're looking for. Most industries don't have net negative churn from what we've seen. At the beginning, go collect feedback from people and figure out what you need to change to improve your churn numbers. A lot of people believe churn is industry related, and that is true. Some industries just have higher churn than others. And HubSpot was a great example of this when they first started out high churn. But you can do things to reduce it, such as onboarding sessions, such as going upstream, such as adding in more features and more services and more products to your existing products. You're giving more value. There's a lot of things that could be done to reduce churn, but at the beginning, don't focus too much on churn and don't worry about obsessing about it. Get your signup numbers high enough. And at the beginning, collect feedback on why people are churning. So just make sure that you're collecting the feedback, because if you're collecting the feedback, you can figure out what to do later on. But it's so funny, Eric, I know you've done some software companies as well, and you speak at a lot of SaaS events. Like there's one in a castle or something that you speak at every year.
SaaS Doc, yeah.
And I bet you they all talk about churn and reducing it. Yes, that's great. But I bet you a lot of those companies that are focused on churn barely have any signups and barely make any revenue. And then it's like, yeah, it's cool. But you can also create a really big company even if you have massive churn. Canva is a great example of this. I don't know what their valuation is in today's market, but it's over $10 billion easily. I think they generate over $1 billion in revenue. Customers on Canva don't stay for years. I remember a few years ago reading an article in which a lot of the users stay on Canva for around a year. A high churn business, but it's also a really big market and the numbers make sense. Like, yeah, you could say, hey, your churn sucks, but if you're making $1 billion in revenue and you're spitting out a ton of cash and profit, who really cares? Hey, you can have a furniture business and someone buys from you only one time, but if you're making $20 million a year in profit selling furniture, does it really matter?
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about this in the next episode too, but you got to think about ultimately whether it's your product or service, what's the jobs to be done? Canva's example, the jobs to be done is very simple. It's for people that need designs cranked out quickly, but as the business matures, you're probably going to end up hiring designers and they're going to come with their own tool set. And then that's when you probably churn out from Canva. But then there's always people creating new stuff and this is what Canva serves and that's their jobs to be done, right? I'll give you a couple of examples of where it's okay to have churn and then we'll flip over to the next episode. We'll talk about in more detail on how you can actually prevent churn. Again, like even if you have 5% churn monthly, it's not good because you need to replace 55 to 60% of your client base in the next year. 10% is just rolling over the whole thing. So here's the thing. You can have churn if you're going up market. So let's say you are SMB like Canva, but Canva all of a sudden decides to go mid-market enterprise, which I don't think they're going to do all of a sudden. But let's just say they do, right? Let's entertain that thought. Then you might be okay starting to churn out the SMB ones while you go up market, but you have to make it very clear to your team that the churn is okay because previously you might've said, hey guys, like we want low churn, like we want to lower the churn, but you just got to make sure that you're aligning everyone at the same time. So that's one. Two is, let's say the markets are getting tough and you have to downsize the company, which we're seeing a lot of cuts. You know, big tech is not immune to this. We're seeing it happen everywhere, a lot more behind the scenes, to be honest. If you have to cut people, then like naturally you might have to, like, especially in client services, you might have to churn out some clients saying, hey, look, we can't fulfill anymore. Like that's just an unfortunate truth. And then the last one from my side is if you're pivoting the business, so if you're going into a completely different business model, you're definitely okay churning, right? The thing you want to do to kind of do right by your clients is say, hey, look, we're not doing this stuff anymore, but like we know these 2-3 providers that we've talked to already, and they have the capacity to take you on. So you want to do right by your customers in that respect. So those are just a couple of examples of when churn is okay. But the most important thing is that to make sure that you align your team, because if they're misaligned and they still have the same messaging or same understanding that, oh, churn is unacceptable, then you're going to have this misalignment and they're going to go in this direction. You're going to go in this direction. So communication is key. Anything else, Neil?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Marketingschool.io/newsletter to keep up to date with the content we're putting out. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well. And we will see you tomorrow.
We appreciate you joining us for this session of Marketing School. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And visit marketingschool.io for more resources based on today's topic, as well as access to more episodes that will help you find true marketing success. That's marketingschool.io. Until next time, class dismissed.